A long time ago, it was back in the days when judges led Israel, there was famine in the land. A man from Bethlehem in Judea left home to live in the country of Moab. He and his wife had two sons. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. His sons were called Mahlon and Chilion, all the Ephraimites from Bethlehem in Judea. They all went to the country of Moab and settled there. Elimelech died, and Naomi was left, she and her two sons. The sons had taken Moabite wives. The name of the first was Orpah, the second Ruth. They lived there in Moab for the next 10 years. But then the two brothers, Mahlon and Chilion, died. Now the woman, Naomi, was left without either her young men or her husband. One day, she got herself together, she and her two daughters-in-law, to leave the country of Moab and set out for home. She had heard that God had been pleased to visit his people and give them food. And so she started out from the place she'd been living, she and her two daughters-in-law with her, on the road back to the land of Judah. After a short while on the road, Naomi told her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, go home and live with your mothers, and may God treat you as graciously as you treated your deceased husbands and me. May God give each of you a new home and a new husband." She kissed them, and they cried openly. They said, "No, we're going on with you and to your people." But Naomi was firm. "Go back, my dear daughters. Why would you come with me? Do you suppose I still have sons in my womb who can become your future husbands? Go back, dear daughters, on your way. Please, I am too old to get a husband. Why, even if I said there is still hope, and this very night got a man and had sons, who can imagine being you would be satisfied to wait until they were grown? Would you wait that long to get married again? No, dear daughters, this is a bitter pill for me to swallow, more bitter for me than for you. God has dealt me a hard blow." Again they cried openly. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth embraced her and held on. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is going back home to live with her own people and God's. Go with her." But Ruth said, "Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I'll live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I die. And that's where I'll be buried. So help me, God. Not even death itself is going to come between us." When Naomi saw that Ruth had her heart set on going with her, she gave in. And so the two of them travelled on together to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was soon buzzing. "Is this really our Naomi? And after all this time..."
Good morning to all of you once again. I'm actually here next week as well, it turns out. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity. Because as I said the very first time that I came here, a year and a half ago or something like that, that when I retired, I did not allow for the fact that I would miss preaching so much. And it is really a joy and a delight to come to a church and be able to preach God's word and not have to do any meetings. I get the best bits. I get all the best bits. Now, a few years before I retired, I did a poll amongst my congregation in London to find out people's favorite Bible stories. And the idea was to generate a kind of top 10, and then I would use that list to do a whole summer-long series. The favorite Bible stories of Sutton Baptist Church, basically. And the runaway winner, and not by a little bit, but by a long way, was the story of Ruth, which at first surprised me a little. I was expecting I would probably, the number one would be something from the Gospels, but no, it wasn't. It was from Ruth. But then thinking about it, I wasn't surprised at all, because Ruth is a lovely story about friendship and about love. Indeed, the story of Ruth shows how friendship is among the happiest, the most life-changing, and the most humane of all forms of love. Now, why does it matter that we should explore this theme in a Christian pulpit? Because Ruth is not a particularly religious book. God is barely mentioned in it. But let me remind you of what Jesus says to his disciples. He said, "I have not called you servants, but friends." And friendship, Jesus says, is at the heart of what it is to be the church of God. And for that reason, we preach from Ruth. Okay. Now, the book of Ruth is one of the most charming of all the books of the Bible. It tells how Naomi, who is a Hebrew woman, is bereaved of both her husband and her two sons in the land of Moab, where they had gone to live. And she decides to return to her homeland in Judah, but she expects that her two daughters-in-law, who are from Moab, will stay at home, stay there, and remarry in their native land. That's what she expects to happen. And Orpah, one of the two daughters-in-law, does exactly this. But Ruth, and this is the key to the story, Ruth refuses to abandon Naomi. And in one of the most moving speeches in all of literature, never mind the Bible, she clings to Naomi. And let me read those words again, because they are beautiful and they express the very essence of what friendship and love is. She says, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more, if even death parts me from you." That's beautiful. It's beautiful. The story moves on because Naomi does accompany Ruth, and they settle in Bethlehem of all places. And that's where Naomi's extended family live. And there's a kind of a reunion which was brought to us in our reading. Is this Naomi after all this time? They don't have any land of their own. But the law said that poor people have the right to pick up fallen grain in the fields at harvest time. This was called gleaning, and this is what Ruth did. And this is how she provided food for Naomi and for herself. But then the story takes a really remarkable turn. She meets a member of Naomi's extended family who takes her into his home and who cares for her, and his name is Boaz. And it's very clear where this is going to lead. He marries her, not simply because he is doing the duty of a kinsman, but because he loves her. He loves her. And they have a child, they have a son called Obed. And right at the very end of the book, it comes like a punchline, and most people miss this. Right at the end of the book, we're told why this is so significant for the history of Israel, because Obed turns out to be the grandfather of none other than King David himself. So Ruth turns out to be the great-grandmother of the great king. But here this morning, let's focus on Ruth and Naomi and explore this theme of friendship. And it's interesting that the story shows how the great king, King David's roots lie. His roots lie in a friendship between two women and a chance encounter in a Bethlehem barley field. It's amazing how God weaves the tapestry of human destinies so as to give birth to a king and to a kingdom. But love and friendship. First, consider what this story says about the nature of friendship. The family history was not encouraging. Naomi is consumed with bitterness at the loss of all the key males in her life. It wasn't in a reading, but if you had read a little further, she begs to be called Mara, which means bitterness, because the Almighty, she says, has dealt bitterly with me. She had lost all the males in her life, and she was bitter. And in these circumstances, she has no right to expect anything of a daughter-in-law. But Ruth, it seems, is blessed with a generosity and a capacity for love that triumphs over Naomi's inconsolable grief and pain. And in a way, this is important because it is friendship which provides the healing. It's friendship which brings healing into this woman's life which had been destroyed. Ruth pledges to stay with Naomi for the rest of her life. And this is a lifelong commitment that she gives, and not just to somebody of her own generation, but to an older woman of her father's generation, not her own. And it breaks through the constraints of roles within the family into something that's marked not by a sense of duty. She's not doing this because of duty, but because of a truly humane joy. Ruth says she will stay with Naomi, not because she has to, but purely because of her love for her as a fellow human being and as a fellow woman. It really is friendship and love on its deepest and its finest and its most noble of levels. Now, true friendship, according to classical writers like Aristotle and Cicero, is marked by altruism. In other words, true friendship is a friendship where people are not in it because of anything they can get out of it. It's not something that people do because they have a duty to do it, but because of what it is in its own right. And perhaps the greatest claim that we can ever make about our relationships is that our wife or husband or partner, our parent or our child, has become our true friend, not because they owe us anything or because of a sense of duty to them, but simply because they are our companion in life. Our lives belong together. Where you go, I will go. And that kind of love, that kind of friendship, is a surprisingly rare thing. It takes time for relationships to develop that degree of altruism, and many never manage it. But when they do, it is a beautiful image of Christ's own self-giving for humanity, Christ who loved people, his people, all people, not because of what people could do or give, but simply because he loved them. And this is the kind of love that friendship that Naomi and Ruth share, which was a healing for Naomi. It was a healing. And it's why I think that this story was number one in my poll. Because even if not everybody in my congregation could have articulated it, there is something when you read a story like that, people respond to it and think, that is beautiful, and that's the kind of friendship, those are the kind of relationships that I would love to have. Those are the kind of relationships and friendships that transform everything. But the second theme is builds upon this. It's to do with the differences between these two women. Because what makes the story really so remarkable is, well, while Naomi is a Hebrew of the so-called chosen race, Ruth is a foreigner. She is a Moabite, and taking the Old Testament as a whole, the Moabites are regarded in much the same kind of way as Samaritans were in the New Testament. They were pretty well detested. And there is a long history of antagonism between Moab and Israel. Edom, Ammon, and Moab, whatever came out of these places but trouble. So this friendship, this love between Ruth and Naomi, it crosses forbidden boundaries. Forbidden boundaries of race and religion and geography. And this makes it even more remarkable, even more special. But it's interesting, and I return to the end of the book here, because I said earlier that the book was partly written, at least, to explain the origins of King David. But those origins turned out to be both surprising and shocking, because it turns out, you see, that King David is not a pure Hebrew stock. King David is of mixed ancestry. You ever think about that? Now, one of the things I always found fascinating when I was studying at college is sometimes the Bible, even the Bible itself, has little internal debates. Because when the Jewish exiles had returned from Babylon and began to rebuild their city and their temple and their community, it was natural that whole questions of Jewish identity would loom large. And there were those who took a kind of a really, really, really rigid view that part of the problem was that the Jewish people had been a little bit, they had not been zealous enough in defending their, if you like, purity. And one of the classic examples of this is Ezra, who said that you are not Jewish unless you can count 7 generations. Now, it's interesting, you see, because according to Ezra, therefore, King David wasn't even Jewish. Ruth, I think, takes a kind of a different view. And Ruth's warning is, it puts a question mark against drawing too rigid boundaries between Jewish religious or ethnic purity and the rest of the world. And instead, the book of Ruth asks the more important question, whether anything matters more than God's interest and concern for the whole of humanity. It's a very similar message that you might get, say, from the book of Jonah. Jonah, if you remember in that book, is, you know, why does God caring about those people? And at the end of Jonah, we discover that God does care about those people just as much as he cares for his own. And it's this very similar message coming across, I think, from the book of Ruth. Through this friendship, which transcends difference. And this, to me, is an incredibly modern and an incredibly important lesson. Because how friendship transcends difference is a really key question in our modern world. In many cultures, people pay a very high price for befriending people of another race or faith tradition. So entrenched is our world in ever more dangerous tribalisms. Now, many of you, especially from the old days, will know that I have background in Northern Ireland, partly. My parents were both from Belfast. And, you know, I can tell you all about tribalism. I'm incredibly opposed to school uniforms. But there's a reason for this. In Belfast, the school uniform didn't just mark out what school you went to, it also marked out whether you were Catholic or Protestant. You know, and you never, ever, ever, ever saw, say, a Catholic person walking in evident friendship with a Protestant person. Now, they may well have been friends, but they would never have done it publicly. Because you have this tribalism which does not allow for friendship across barriers. And that has been, of course, the tragedy of Northern Ireland. In a very small, similar way, when I first moved to Bristol, which was in 1976, I didn't have very many friends. I wasn't married or anything like that. And I used to go see the football. And I used to go and see Bristol City every other week. And the alternative weeks, I went and saw Bristol Rovers. And I was told that this was, in fact, a terrible thing to do. Dreadful thing to do. Because the tribalism said you could support one or the other. You were not allowed to support both. You know, it would be like going to see both Manchester United and Manchester City, or Liverpool and Everton. You just don't do it. Well, news for you, I did it. I did it. But my son-in-law now, who's a great football fan, we go off and see matches together. I suggested to him that we went and saw Bristol Rovers play, and he absolutely, no. Now, that's small and it's trivial. But Northern Ireland isn't trivial. And there are lots of places in the world where it is not trivial. And so this lesson of friendship across barriers is, in fact, a really important one. Because embracing difference is necessary if we're going to live together. And once more, we can see the image of the God who reaches out to humanity across all that divides creature from creator. In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul says about how in Jesus God has, quote, broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. And Paul says that Christ is our peace, who has brought us reconciliation, making of us who were strangers and aliens fellow citizens with all the saints and members of the household of God. Grace, in other words, has made us friends of God, but it has also made us friends with one another. And this little lesson from the book of Ruth about friendship that recognizes no barriers is such an important one. It's almost a parable of the way relationships should be within the kingdom of God. With no barriers, no boundaries, and the only thing that counts is friendship and love. So I'm not surprised, really, that Ruth was number one in my poll. I'm really not surprised. It is not just a charming story, but it's a story I think that people respond to on a gut level. Because they can see how precious this kind of relationship is, and they can also see in our broken and fractured world how important it is as well.